Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. In Matthew chapter 2, we find the account of the wise men going on a journey to find Jesus, to worship him, and to give their gifts to him. Are you presently a wise man or a wise woman on an intimate journey to know Jesus better, to love him more, and to serve him more? Let's open our Bible now to Matthew chapter 2 that we may learn how to go on a wise journey with Jesus.
Well, good morning, and welcome to another teaching. It's just a good morning to be spending time with Jesus, to be in our Bible, to just be growing to know Jesus, growing to love him, hopefully growing to be like him, and growing to repent for the many ways that I'm not like him. And thank you, Lord Jesus. So hopefully it's been a good December, as we're talking about. Hopefully you're making this a December where you've remember Jesus more and more and more and more, and that you've been more thankful and just aware more of Jesus Christ on Christmas, right? And during the Christmas season or the Christmas season, we've said it's easy just to get, to get caught up. I mean, as you know, the end of year comes, there's just so much going on, really, really from Thanksgiving on, just for most families, it's just blazing right through the end of the year. And so it's a good time to reflect on the birth of Jesus and really, really all that it means to us, that a Savior has been born to us and he is Christ the Lord. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, we're going to talk today about a wise journey, and hopefully you're on a journey to seek out Jesus this December. You're a wise man or a wise woman that's on a journey to go deeper with Jesus, to know him better, to know his love for you better, to obey him more, to love him more, to please him more, and ultimately to be more like him. There's nothing in our lives that's more valuable than our walk with Jesus or our journey with Jesus. And in Matthew 2, we have the account of the Magi or the wise men. And what is it that makes them wise? I mean, they took a trip around 1,000 miles from Persia, modern day Iraq, all the way to Israel, all the way to Jerusalem, and, all the way to where, Mary and Joseph are in their home. Mm. And, it's incredible that they would go this far, these Gentiles, and their heart is to find and worship Jesus. They don't want anything. They want to give to Jesus. And they go on this incredibly long journey. Again, around 1,000 miles. It could have taken 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. When I looked it up, a caravan, can generally go maybe around 15 to 20 miles a day if you're hitting it every day. And that could be 60 days minimum, right? And then, it could have been 3 months, 4 months. We don't know how long it could have taken them, but we see because they're willing to go on this journey, the Lord leads them by a star that our Heavenly Father moved a star in the heavens that led them directly to where Jesus was. So we're going to read the account and then we're going to break it down. And again, the goal of this is that you want to be on a journey to go deeper in Jesus, to know him, right? They're going and looking to find him so they can worship him. And that's what we want to be doing. So Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness, your favor, your grace, your wonder. We thank you for your love. We thank you for our Bible. But Father, more than anything, we thank you for Jesus, our only Lord and Savior and Master and King. Lord Jesus, we thank you for becoming a human man for us. We thank you for living a perfect, righteous life on our behalf that we could never live. We thank you for dying a torturous death on the cross that we deserve to die. And we thank you that you're alive and risen, and we worship you today. Holy Spirit, we do ask you to lead us and guide us now as we open your word. Give us eyes that see, ears that hear, hearts that understand. Holy Spirit, we ask you to open our hearts this Christmas season again, that we would know Jesus, and that we would journey with Jesus, that we might know him, that we might find him as we search him out in more deep and intimate and prominent ways. We commit this into your hands now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, I'm going to start reading in Matthew 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi, or wise men from the east, came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Verse 3, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the magi secretly, the wise men, and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Verse 9, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Wow. Okay, so there are so many principles in this account. And these 12 verses are just full. Okay, so if you're going to be a wise man today or a wise woman and you're going to journey to go deeper with Jesus, you can see all kind of principles here, okay? I mean, this journey, you know, it's a lifetime journey that we're on. And if we're wise, okay, there is really only one foundational true wisdom in life. And that is seeking out, receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and then spending our lives in relationship with him, walking with him, right? You've heard it said, it's the journey is the destination. We're always trying to get somewhere, but it's in the journey. It's in the walk. It's in the relationship. And the vast majority of Christians, you know, will admit, guys in our ministry will admit, they don't experience, you know, deep relationship with Jesus, this like cool and fun and just incredible walk in relationship as they journey with Jesus. They would like that, right? And I mean, these are devoted guys that do many things well, right? But just this journey with Jesus is hard, you know, and it takes effort. Again, these guys travel around 1,000 miles from Persia, modern day Iraq, all the way to Jerusalem. I don't know why the star gets stuck in Jerusalem, so they have to go before this wicked king. And oftentimes when we're journeying, particularly if we're looking to go deeper with Jesus, the Lord will place us, you know, oftentimes in difficult places. He'll put circumstances in our life and you're wondering, why did you do this, Lord? What am I saying? It's about 7 miles. So look at this. Think about this. It's about 7 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. They travel 993 miles. Why can't the star just keep rolling past Jerusalem, right to Bethlehem, to the house where Jesus is, probably around 2 years old now? Why does the star get stuck? Right? Look at verse 9. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. So they saw his star. They go all the way to Jerusalem. Okay, now they're stuck. So they go to the governor's palace. They go to the king and say, verse 1, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Again, there is the foundation of being a wise man or a wise woman, is that you're seeking out Jesus. Now, the king would normally be used to people seeking out him and seeking his favor. They don't even care about the king, okay? Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? That should be the only question on our heart, is that we want to know and find and receive and love the one who has been born King of the Jews. Verse 2, we saw a star in the east and have come to worship him. We've come 1,000 miles because we want to worship Jesus. Sleeping on the ground, sleeping outside. I mean, it's unbelievable the journey that these wise men take. You know, we know there's multiple wise men. We often see three because of the three gifts that they present him with. In verse 12, verse 11, they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. So we know there's multiple. There could have been, you know, could have been many of them, but we know there's at least two. You know, we always hear three wise men, but it doesn't say that. We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. So if you're going to be on a wise journey with Jesus, you know, it is going to involve first your understanding that Jesus is God. He is God Almighty. When you meditate on the fact that he willingly entered this world for you, willingly was born in such humble circumstances, took on humanity, went on to live a perfect, righteous life on your behalf that you could never live, went on to die a horrible, torturous death on your behalf and in your place that you deserve to die, and was raised from the dead. You know, as you meditate on that and consider that your God loved you so much that he willingly left heaven and entered this world because it was the only way for you to be delivered from an eternity of torment in hell. When you meditate on that, okay, the response ought to be worship. We ought to be prostrating ourselves. Again, how often do you get down on your knees? You've heard me say this as a principle. Some of the guys do it with their kids, but, you know, it's good to do it with your kids, but at least once a day, get down on your knees before Jesus. Posture yourself in a place of surrender and worship. And then, you know, and certainly that is an aspect of worship when you get down and humble yourself, but everything we do in our life should be worship. Worship for Jesus is when you do something because you know it's his will, you know it's his heart. When you humble yourself, when you anything that you do conscious of Jesus because you want to please Jesus, because you know it's the will of Jesus. Every aspect of your life, where are you living for Jesus, loving for Jesus, giving for Jesus, forgiving for Jesus? Where are you helping others in Jesus? Where are you, repenting over things that are out of line in your life? Where do you make sacrifices to serve others and bless others? Verse 3, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. You would have thought that there would have been an excitement, that this would have been wonderful. The promised Messiah, the Savior, you know, that these wise men say that, you know, that they've come a long way. It's amazing. If you have a heart to go on a journey with Jesus, to spend this life on a wise journey with Jesus, the Lord will move heaven and earth for you. He'll move a star from 1,000 miles away. Can you explain? Can I explain? How is it that these guys are 1,000 miles away and the Lord reveals to them that the Savior is born, yet all of Jerusalem, all the big religious leaders, all the pastors and elders, all the elite that are supposed to know God so well are 7 miles away? They have no idea at all. Jesus is almost 2 years old now. That's something for us all to really consider. And it speaks to a terrible lack of wisdom, a frivolity and a foolishness, an indifference, a cold-hearted just indifference on behalf of all the religious leaders, obviously of Herod. Again, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Why didn't they know already? How did guys 1,000 miles away get a revelation of who Jesus is and that he's been born, and they have a heart to come and worship him, but yet those 7 miles away don't? It's not your physical proximity that matters. It's your heart and your willingness to have this relationship with Jesus, to walk with him, to spend time with him, to spend time in his word, to spend time in earnest repentance, to spend time loving him and wanting to please him. Wow. Verse 4, when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. Now, it's amazing. They know. They know what the Old Testament says. They have no idea that it's happened. And yet, these are the Jews, the chosen people, where, you know, these people from Persia, 1,000 miles away, you know, they're given a revelation from Jesus. But, you know, they didn't have access to all that, you know, all that the chief priests had, this whole incredible word of God, the 39 books of the Old Testament. Herod asked them where the Christ was to be born. Verse 5, in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. And that's Micah 5:2. Okay, so they quote the Old Testament. They know what the Bible says. This is an important principle. We need to be spending time in our Bible, more time in our Bible, reading, studying, and meditating on our Bible. But the reason we have the Bible is to grow to know Jesus better. It's not just so we could fill our head with knowledge of what the Bible says. That's a good thing. But the ultimate purpose of the Bible is to first lead us to faith in Christ, to show us that we are a sinful man or woman, that we're hopeless, helpless, desperate, that we need a Savior. And without a Savior, only hell awaits. The Bible's first purpose is to drive us to Christ as our Savior, that we would humble ourselves and receive him as our Lord and Savior. And then the Bible's purpose for the rest of our lives is to have us journey with Jesus as wise men or wise women, growing to know him, growing to love him, growing to obey him, growing to please him, growing to repent. And this should be an incredible journey, a wondrous, exciting journey, y'all. And again, I know most would say it's generally not that exciting, but biblical Christianity should not just be a religious exercise of getting up, going to church, and, you know, checking off your religious boxes. Verse 7. Then Herod called the Magi, the wise men, secretly, and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. I'll say again, why does the Lord ordains this? You know, because again, when you look in verse 9, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead. It's moving, until it stopped over the place where the child was. The Lord could have had that star moved so they walked right on past, right on through Jerusalem, right through to Bethlehem, and not have to go see this wicked king. The Lord intentionally does it in this way so that they testify to not only the king, but all the leaders in Jerusalem about Jesus. Do you see that? Again, after they had heard the king. Now, by the way, they're going to be warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. And Joseph and Mary are going to be told to get up. And Herod is going to kill all the boys, 2 years old and younger. Joseph gets a dream and he gets away with Mary. They go to Egypt until Herod dies. But then Herod's going to give orders. Verse 16, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he learned from the Magi. So, you know, Jesus, you know, is probably around 2 years old now. And, you know, the Lord puts this, you know, this circumstance in the wise man's journey. And all of us have had circumstances in our life. Again, I just think about this. Again, if the star doesn't stop, if the star just keeps going, they don't have to go to the governor, then none of this happened. Now, the Old Testament prophesied that this would happen. And, you know, we have to look at it and say, you know, I've often said, you know, why didn't all the other fathers or mothers get a dream? Only Joseph gets a dream. And obviously Jesus is the savior. And, you know, he needs to go on and live that perfect, righteous life and then die on the cross on our behalf and in our place for the sin of the world. But it sure would have been nice for everyone else, I tell the Lord. Now, again, the boys were killed and went right to heaven. But still, it's something that's, what's the point I'm making? The point I'm making is that when we're on a journey to walk with Jesus, the Lord is going to allow or cause circumstances in our life that we wonder, man, why did that happen? Why is this happening? Just difficult circumstances. And when you're in that circumstance, you want to, like these wise men, say, I'm here for Jesus. When you're in any circumstance, it's about Jesus. Whether it's good or bad, our lives are more and more and more about walking with Jesus, growing to know Jesus, making Jesus a part of it, inviting Jesus into it. So whatever your circumstances, most of us probably have some type of difficulty or hardship going on in our lives today. But as you journey with Jesus, not only through this Christmas season, but, you know, all next year, and as you continue on this journey in life to walk with Jesus, in wisdom, be wise on the journey. And when circumstances come up, when the Lord brings circumstances or difficulty into your life, do what these wise men did. Again, just say, I'm looking for Jesus. You always want to see, where is Jesus in the circumstance? Invite him in. You know, be in fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ who are, you know, who are on a journey as wise men or wise women to know Jesus more, to walk with Jesus more. Again, growing more and more, living for Jesus, loving for Jesus, giving for Jesus, forgiving for Jesus. That's the only thing that makes these wise men. No Jesus, no wisdom, no life, no purpose, no meaning, no anything. With Jesus, the entire universe opens up to us. We cannot know God in any way without Jesus. With Jesus, we have relationship and we're journeying with God the Father is our Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior and Master and God and King and Friend. God the Holy Spirit is our guide, our counselor, our comforter. Jesus Christ in Jesus and through Jesus and receiving Jesus as your Savior, trusting in him, relying on him, believing that he is who he says he is, the Son of God, God the Son, believing that he entered this world for you, lived for you, died for you, and rose again. In Jesus, you have this incredible access to journey with each person of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Mm. So Herod is lying when he says, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. So again, the Lord in this journey to walk to find Jesus, to worship Jesus, you know, this is a long journey, okay? Your whole life is about going on this journey, a wise journey with Jesus. And there are going to be circumstances that the Lord either allows or causes in your life. And again, you just want to stay focused on Jesus. After they had heard the king, verse 9. Again, so this circumstance was appointed to them. After they had heard the king, after they had testified to the king. Remember, they went to the king and all they said is, we're looking for the king of the Jews. And that ought to be our heart. Not only this Christmas season, but all the days of our life. I'm just looking for Jesus. Because I want to worship him. I want to know him. I want to live for him. Remember, worship is good to bow down, get on our knees in reverence. But worship really is everything we do in our life can and should be an act of worship. What is it? Romans 12. I know it's one of Stephen's favorite verses. 1 and 2. Turn to Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. We're going to wrap up here. Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. This is how you know, to present your body as a living sacrifice, meaning everything you're doing, you're looking to make a sacrifice because that's the heart of Jesus. And the more you do that, again, a living sacrifice. Normally, the nature of a sacrifice is you put it on the altar and it would be killed. But you're to be a living sacrifice, consistently walking with Jesus. How do you do it? Verse 2, Romans 12. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Again, you renew your mind by spending time in the scriptures and by thinking about Jesus, growing to know Jesus, and just, again, being wise in your walk with Jesus. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The star they seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. I'll say again, if you have a heart, a genuine heart today, go before your heavenly Father, go before Jesus and just repent. I want to, Father. I mean, I want to worship you more, Jesus. I want to walk with you more. I'm sorry, Lord, that my life is just so much about me. But just go before Jesus and just talk to him and say, Lord, I do want to go on a wise journey with you. I want to be a wise man or woman. I want to know you better and love you more and know your love for me more. I want to obey you more and please you more. I just want to have a deeper relationship with you. They were overjoyed. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Verse 10, there's joy and then there's overjoy. Just that's a lot of joy, right? When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Again, the Lord will move a star for you if you truly have a heart to find Jesus. But if you have no interest in him at all the religious people, religion, it's kind of a gross thing, right? Religion. We want relationship with Jesus. We want to journey and walk with Jesus. But if you just have religion, you could be 7 miles from Jesus and you'll never know him at all. But again, if you have a heart like these wise men, and you want to go on a journey with Jesus and go deeper, the Lord will move a star for you. That's kind of a deal, right? The star's moving. Went ahead until it stopped over the place where the child was. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Now, what's the whole purpose of this journey with Jesus? Remember, living for Jesus, loving for Jesus, giving for Jesus, forgiving for Jesus. Why come this 1,000 miles? You finally get there, verse 11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. The whole purpose of walking with Jesus first is to worship him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. How are you using your time? A journey with Jesus means using your time, your talents, and your money and laying them at the feet of Jesus. That you are his, you're his servant, that you're surrendered to him. They opened their treasures and presented him. It's kind of a scene, right? They're bowed down and they're giving their gifts to Jesus. On this journey with Jesus, you want to be using your time, your talents, and your money more and more and more in service to Jesus. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And so again, you see what they had, this incredible heart to find Jesus. They journeyed to find Jesus. They found him. They're overjoyed. And because they had a heart for Jesus, the Lord delivers them. They don't go back to Herod. And they go back to their own country by another route. Well, there it is. So again, from this, you know, Christmas is going to be whatever, about a week, right? Week and a half. Just let's make this Christmas season, this Christmas day, this Christmas Eve, let's make this a year. Let's just draw a line in our life where we go on a wise journey with Jesus to know him more, to love him more. And y'all, if you'll do that moment by moment, day by day, right? It's not going to be easy. There'll be difficulties in there, but the Lord will move heaven and earth for you. And you will grow to know him more. And as you grow to know Jesus more, just everything gets more exciting. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness and grace on our lives. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me that again, I want to walk with you more deeply, Lord. I want to know you more. I want to be a wise man, Lord. I ask you to help each of us, Lord, just to go deeper in our walk with you and our relationship with you, to go on a journey with you, that we would find you, Lord, in more deep ways, that we would grow to know you in ways we didn't know possible, that our relationship with you would truly grow and flourish. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, seal this to our hearts now. Lead us and guide us deeper into Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.